And we are back. It's the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5. Craig Shelton and Will Pelagic filling in for AJ. I was about to say filling in for Craig and Jason. Filling in for AJ and Freddie Falcon. Those guys are out taking care of a little business today. And we're happy to be here filling in for them. Of course, you know Jong is in there wrecking the wheels of steel. You heard that NWA, man. Did you go see Boys in the Hood?
I didn't. Not Boys in the Hood. Straight out of Compton. Straight out of Compton, yes, yeah. Yes, very, very impressive.
Well, did you see Boys in the Hood, too?
I did not see Boys in the Hood.
You should go see it.
Okay.
Okay, you're behind the times.
I am behind a little
you
bit.
You just told me earlier you didn't watch Walking Dead last night. I was beginning to like you.
I was working
now
last
night.
Now
you told me that you didn't see Walking Dead.
I was working
and
you've
never seen Boys in the Hood.
I was working during Walking Dead.
Are you cousins with Jason Braddock?
No.
No, actually, if you was cousins with Jason Braddock, you would have seen Boys in the Hood, John.
Yeah.
Of course. You wouldn't know anything about any other movie, but you would know that movie. 713-780-3776, man. Craig and Will, we hanging out. And Will and I are talking quite a bit in between breaks. And we're in agreement on some things, but not completely out of eye on everything. And that career era, we're not seeing that completely identical.
No.
Now, you made a great point, but I think your point kind of goes to make my argument as well.
Well, I think there aren't 10 shortstops in the league that make that play.
I agree.
I don't know if Correa is one of them. You think that he is.
See, and I think that's the whole point. He's one of those 10 that should make that play. I mean, he's that guy.
You're remembering this guy is 21.
That has nothing to do with it. No, if you got a sick glove, you just got a sick glove.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know how baseball works.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to – if you don't have a sick glove, you're not going to get one because you're 30.
Right.
You know, you either have that attribute or you don't. That's not something that you just – you know, you're gonna,
pitcher
you're not,
didn't help him any, though, with the deflection off the pitcher.
No, and I'm not even blaming him for it. It was a very wicked play. It was just one of those plays. But and I'm not killing the kid, but I just think we give him credit for the two home runs and the single. Well, you got to own that one, too, because that was a makeable play. And by the way, it was graded as an error. Keep that in mind.
I think it was a tough error.
Yeah, it was.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Stanford Routt's going to join us in about 10 minutes' time.
Stanford.
Talking a little football with us. Alan is on the line. Alan, you're on ESPN 97.5.
What's up? What's up, Alan?
Alan, you there? I think I hear Alan. I guess we don't have Alan. Let's go to Todd. Now, Todd was at the game and has some thoughts about what happened at the game. Hello, Todd.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Great, man.
Yeah, I just got done at the Astros game, and, of course, it was a really tough loss. I just wanted to say this. At the top of the ninth inning, sitting there right by the third baseline, and about it looked like a third of the fans, of course, were down by three, so everybody's getting up to leave. And I just wanted to say that, As an Astros fan, we haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years. It was a huge embarrassment. I just want to call out Astros Nation and say, we haven't been here in 10 years. Stay for the whole game. Support your team.
How long did it take you to get out of the parking lot, Todd?
Say what?
How long did it take you to get out of the parking lot today, Todd?
It was a long time. Long time.
Was it? Would you think it would have been longer if they would have left a half inning sooner?
Say that again?
You think it would have been longer or shorter if you would have left the half inning sooner?
I don't think it'd make a big difference, but still, I mean, I just want to see Astros Nation support the team. Yeah, we're down by three and the Royals bullpen is good, but stay, you never know what's going to happen. Stay and support the team.
Yeah,
what
man,
do you say
see,
about our fans?
I think the fact that the fans are there, I think they did support the team. What, 44,000 people there? I respect your right to an opinion, but I'm just not one of those guys that feel like I have a right to tell fans when to come to the game, when to leave the game.
I used to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, once you spend your money for parking, for beer, for ticket, for gear, you don't get to tell me when to leave the game. That just doesn't make sense to me, man.
If that's me and I see that Eric Hosmer home run, I'm out.
I'm done.
I wouldn't have left after the five run inning. But if you see that Eric Hosmer home run, I'm done.
People driving in from the Woodlands and from all over town.
Have you driven in the city of Houston before?
I just can't. I mean, I can appreciate his passion.
6'10" is going to suck either way.
I can appreciate. Well, 6'10" always sucks. You should say that again.
6'10" is going to suck either way.
Absolutely. You must be cousins with HMW. But anyway, but let me say this.
That's a drop for you, John.
When you spend your money, you can cheer for the team in any way you like. To me, the only people I have problems with are the people that say things personal about the players. You know, you can criticize the player's play, but unless you're doing something like that, you're out there just yelling obscenities at a player and getting personal. But other than that, man, you can be any kind of fan you want to be. Just because you stay to the end of the game doesn't mean you're more passionate about the team than I am. I don't buy that.
And I was actually, I was pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised, but I was pleasantly affected by the way the crowd showed over these two games. Because you wonder, especially with the first time in 10 years, you wonder where the thinking of the fan base was. Mm-hmm. I even saw some of the secondary ticket market prices. They probably weren't as high as I would have liked them.
What did you see?
I saw you could have gotten into Sunday's game for around 60. And I think that was I was among the lowest that I'd seen across all four series, because I'm a bit of a nerd like this. I like to try and look at this. Yeah. Forget about going to the Knights game in New York, by the way, for anything under than $250. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, absolutely. That is.
But I'm
nerdy.
Just saying.
I'm glad you know that. I didn't have to tell you.
It's weird. Yeah. I know. I'm a nerdy about a bunch of things. But the fact remains, I was kind of curious as to, what the crowds would have been like today. I didn't think they weren't going to sell out, but I was wondering what kind of atmosphere that they would have had Sunday and Monday. And I was pleasantly affected by that. I think they did very well. They showed very, very well, especially both days.
I had no surprise that the city responded to the Astros the way that they did. I mean, this town loves baseball, man. I can remember being a kid going to ball games during the middle of the week, during the school week. We've always loved baseball in this town. And people have waited a long time for this team to be good. And the type of players that we have, man, these charismatic kids like Correa, George Spring. I mean, these kids are going to be stars, but at the same time, you don't get to tell me what time I'm leaving the game.
Be real, though. Be real, though. There were some of those seats that got their first use the entire season.
Absolutely.
On Sunday.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 is the phone number. Jay wants to talk about the Astros, particularly Carlos Gomez. How are you, Jay?
Jay.
Doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Good. Great, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so, Carlos Correa is catching a lot of heat for that error that he made in the eighth, but if you go back a couple batters before that, the runner on first and second and a soft line drive, not even a line drive, really, that's how they scored it on MLB at bat, the app, but it was really a fly ball that we give a pass for all the antics to Carlos Gomez because we say that he plays all out and all this nonsense, and you guys can go back and watch and correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like he took 45 chop steps before he got to it and let it fall about a foot and a half in front of him with the runner on first and second, nobody out.
That's
and
been unfair.
I can't Carlos Correa.
I can't go there with you, man.
That error.
Nah, I can't go there with you on the play on the Gomez play, and we're not roasting Correa by any means. I think it was an error. He should have made the play, but I'm not roasting him about it. But Gomez, what did you want from Gomez on that play?
I thought he went
all out for the ball. I don't understand your complaint is.
He ran up to make sure that the runner couldn't score from second.
And then too, I play center field, man. When you are charging a ball, there's a moment that you have to make a decision when you're charging a ball.
Right.
That your angle has to be just right, because if you're not going to catch it, now you've got to get it on that one hop. And if you misplay it,
I say, would you rather he dive and have the ball roll all the way up Towels Hill?
If you misplay it, so we probably should have let him stay on the line, explain himself a little bit better, because I don't know what you wanted from Gomez on that play.
I don't know what he's talking about there. That's a bit.
But thanks for the call. Though. We just disagree.
There are plenty of places to put criticism. The one place you don't do it is Carlos Gomez.
You got beat.
Yeah,
you got beat.
I don't think
you got beat today. The bullpen got you beat today.
I don't think we've given the Royals enough credit today. And granted, that's not our place to do.
The Royals showed some heart,
but they did. They showed heart. They won that ball game more than the Astros lost that ball game.
Yeah,
they're in the control of their own destiny. And right now, you're up to the Astros. You have one of two ways to go: either you put up, or you go home.
Go golfing.
Craig Shelton, Will Polonchuk here with you on ESPN 97.5 Stanford Round. Former NFL star joining us in studio next on ESPN 97.5.
Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
33 after the hour on ESPN 97.5. Will Belanger, Craig Shelton. You see, he went with the NWA, and then he went into Limp Bizkit.
I'm all right with that, man. Actually, I'm very diverse when it comes to music. Joan knows that.
Yeah,
though.
As am I. I mean, I go on my iPod from like, you know, NWA to Limp Bizkit to Mozart. You know, it's
man,
crazy.
I might be REM, Led Zeppelin.
I love some
NWA, Ice Cube, Scarface, and then Patsy Cline. I'm all over the place, bro. I'm all over the place.
I wouldn't have admitted to Patsy Cline if I were you. We're joined now in studio by a former Houston Cougar and former NFL star Stanford Rout joining us in studio here on the Blitz. Will Palacha, Craig Shelton, and Stanford. I know that football is your thing, but I know that you've been in these situations before, like what the Astros are going through and taking these types of losses. And just how long are you allowing it to stew? How long do you wait before you, you know, come back and respond and say, okay, you know, enough's enough. Let's go take care of business in Kansas City.
Well, you know, in football, you play games once a week, so you got to always put everything to bed by Monday night. And when Tuesday comes, you got to let it all go and just get ready for the next game. And in baseball, they playing either every night or every other night, so you got to let it go even quicker. Probably by the time you get out the shower, you got to get ready for the next game.
Yeah.
To me, I wonder.
That's what I'm thinking.
The fact that the way that this series is structured, the fact that they get the travel day, I think helps them too.
Yeah, I mean, and I would imagine by the time those guys get, like he says, by Stanford says, once they get showered up, man, and they get relaxed, and when they get on the flight, you know, you get your iPod, you kind of get in your own zone, you got your own customized music, your own mixtape, you know what I'm saying? And I just think guys zone out and get where they need to get mentally. And then once you get to the ball, back to the ballpark, and the first time you play catch to get warmed up with another guy on the team, I think it's all over, man. I just think that, you know, it's a new day and you're just ready to play ball. I mean, you've worked to do this your entire life. So, I mean, I just think you have to move on. And you do move on.
It's Craig Shelton. I'm Will Palacha. Stanford Rout also is in studio with us here on the
Stanford
Blitz.
Stanford, like, he can still play ball, man.
He looks like, man. I mean,
can you still post them up, Stanford, and get before they get out that break on you, man? What would you prefer now? Cover zone? Talk to me, man.
No, I still prefer press.
We see a lot of these guys who come in here a lot of times who've been in the league or are not in the league anymore, and they look like they hit, you know, the training table a lot more than they hit the bench press. You look like you still hit the bench press a little bit.
So, Stanford, how many plays when you watch Texans games? Uh-huh. How many plays do you watch when you watch that secondary play, and you sit there and you say,
"What are you thinking, AJ Bouye?"
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you actually go into your mud deal voice? Hello. I mean, how often does it happen when you watch that team play?
Oh, man, it happens. It happens from time to time. I think with those guys, I just think that some either with the scheme or just with the way the defense is set up, that they're just not being set up right. Because even in that game on Thursday night, everything was just so off, so passive, so we're bending, not breaking. So much that they're not trying to dictate to the offense of what we're going to let you do. Mm-hmm. More so, hey, we're just going to go ahead and just not give up the touchdown. We're going to give up everything in between, everything underneath. And it just seems to me like that's just either coaching, scheme, philosophy. I don't know, but I wouldn't say that it's all the players. I wouldn't say that.
I would not either. I would not either. No, literally, no. I'm not trying to be funny. I think I've been one of those guys that said I think that Bill O'Brien is a good coach as far as coaching them up, but I don't know that he's a head coach. You know what I mean?
Some
guys are glorified
coordinators.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not a bad thing. They'll make you a bad person, but I just wonder, as we watch Bill O'Brien screw up more and more decisions and do more and more little league and high school level type of coaching decisions, you can't tell me that you're not losing some of that locker room, because I know how locker rooms work, and I know, I don't care what those guys come out and say in front of the media, some of those guys in those locker rooms, he's losing some of those guys in that locker room.
Well,
now, to what degree, that's arguable, but he is.
I remember way back in training camp when he had already given the starting job to Brian Hoyer, then the next day, you know, Mallett overslept or his alarm clock didn't go off, or whatever you want to call it. And I knew then, from the time that the Texans have not had a franchise quarterback, it was going to be an uphill battle for him, because the way the defense was set up, it was set up for them to pretty much carry the team. And Aaron Foster getting hurt back in training camp really kind of compounded on everything. And now you just got this musical chairs of quarterbacks that, man, you make it so hard to get any continuity on the team. And then you got my man Mallett. He comes out the game for two plays, gets hit in the rib by the Colts, and he's back on the bench. You know what I mean? Like things like that. As a player, it really kind of, man, you just look at that and you just almost kind of shake your head a little bit, because you're not supposed to just lose your job just from going out for two plays with an injury. Now, granted, Mallett wasn't lighting the world up on fire as it was anyways, but to just see that and it happened just like that.
Mm-hmm. The way it happened, it made it look like Bill O'Brien was just looking for a reason.
Exactly.
And even if that wasn't the case, that's the way it appeared. And that makes a difference. I think appearance is everything.
And the same thing's going to happen on Sunday. You go in, let's say, halftime when the Jags are playing the—
You mean when they start 1-5 on the year after losing to the Jaguars?
Well, we don't know that just yet. Like, there's a good chance they can still win this game and get back in the division. But if they go halftime and the score is 14-10, and Hoyer's already thrown two interceptions in the first half, there's a very good chance he'll come out there, pull Hoyer, put Mallett in the second half. So you just got so much uncertainty within your quarterback play, and even with the receivers. Different quarterbacks, they throw the ball differently. Mallett has much more zip on his pass. Hoyer, he's got a little bit more air up under. And I'm pretty sure with guys like Hopkins, they want to know who they're getting ready to go to war
absolutely
with every week.
And it's hard, too, and I'm sure that you can relate to this, too, just being in the locker room of a coach who is indecisive like that. And I know that there's probably a time where everyone just kind of has to police themselves, and, you know, you wonder how much freedom you give to the team, but you wonder if he's intervening too much, and he's in a situation where, you know, the guys kind of have to take it upon themselves to play, especially outside of the quarterback position, because right now you're looking at a locker room that could be divided. I mean, there could be a Hoyer faction and a Mallett faction, and, you know, that certainly could lead to the divisiveness of a team.
You think that could be a Hoyer faction?
I think there could be.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't know if they— – I don't necessarily agree with the Hoyer faction.
No, I'm not saying that you do either way. I mean, that's what happens.
It's inevitable. When you get a team full of 50, 60 guys, and you have a quarterback situation the way that the Texans have, where you basically got two guys who are basically even or equal, you have some guys who think that one guy should be there and some guys who like the other guy.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I think some of that happens naturally, but I just—
– It happens naturally when you have a guy who's not necessarily— –
I just
good.
Wonder— – I just, or two guys. That
when,
good.
You, when you have two guys and neither of them have a good quarterback between the two of them.
See, we now know what, we all recognize that Mallett is the guy with the upside as far as the attributes.
Well, you know what you're getting with Hoyer.
But I think we kind of know what we're getting with Ryan Mallett as well now, too. But we also know that right now we're getting a guy that's 27 years old that's not as mature as he needs to be. I'm saying nothing about his physical attributes, but some of the things that we've seen of late is not playing well for him. And it doesn't mean anything for me, but the fact that he's handling himself the way he is, when you think about the oversleeping episode, you think about the pouting on the sideline last week, man, you can't do that because you auditioning for the next job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this ain't the place for you here. This man doesn't want you to be his quarterback. That's clear. And you auditioning for your next job, and you want that job to be somewhere that's appealing to you, not just a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's what you got right now, just a job. You know, so I don't know, man. I hate it for the kid, but,
yeah,
man, you know.
Man, it's tough. You know, like you sit up there, you come out the game for just a couple plays, and then you try to go back in there, and then, you know, coach gives you that arm, like, oh, no, hold on right here for
a second. What is that?
So, trust me, it's tough. It's tough to not pout. And it's tough to still be positive on the sideline while all this is going on, when you see that the other guy in there is making throws and he's making plays that you know you can make and you know you should be in there making, but because you went out for a couple plays, now he's in there.
But guess what? The pouting was cool. I didn't really have a huge issue with him pouting,
because
he shouldn't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
He should be competitive and want to be the guy.
Exactly.
But I had a problem with him not going over congratulating his teammates. When his teammates made plays and they were meeting out on the sideline after good plays, I think you have to you can't be completely selfish.
No, you can't.
You know what I mean? You got to
be
about
the
team too, right, man? And that's the thing that I didn't like that disappointed me for him, even as a guy that wanted to see him do well, is, man, you playing into the stereotypes. You already got this stereotype about you that you 2-8 mile. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you 2-8 mile. You're not the prototypical. You got the prototypical quarterback physical stature, but you're not the typical white kid next door.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not who you are, partner. You know, and so you're playing into the stereotypes.
It's Craig Shelton, Standard Route, also in studio with us, and I'm Will Pelagic. We're in for the boys, AJ and Fred, here on the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Toronto leads Texas, by the way, 8-2 in the top of the eighth. That is the winner of that series. It's the winner of the Astros-Royals series. We'll talk a little bit more football, also a little bit more baseball here with Stanford in studio. I want to ask Stanford how he feels about the now number 24 Houston Cougars.
When we return.
You got to love that.
We'll talk about that coming up here in moments. 44 after 5. Hope you're enjoying the day here on ESPN 97.5.
See, what you folks don't know is that your boy Craig Shelton is a hopeless romantic.
Aww.
Hopeless romantic.
So that was you watching It's Complicated last night on PBS. That was you.
Stanford Rod,
caught that once or twice.
Stanford, I cooked my wife chicken spaghetti and jalapeno cornbread last night because I'm a hopeless romantic.
You on it, dog.
I'm on it.
Got the red wine going with it, too?
She's a Merlot girl, of course. No doubt about it.
Is that your go-to? You got in a fight with your wife. You need to make her happy. That's the go-to meal?
Chicken spaghetti, man. With the Velveeta.
Yeah, you can't.
You got to do the Velveeta.
With my girl, she loves steak. So, like, I have basically the whole formula down for cooking the ribeye just the way she likes it. And, you know, all the right seasonings and everything. And, like, literally, if she wants that, I'll make that for her every night if she wants it. I pay a pretty penny trying to buy a lot of Texas beef, but, I mean, that's the one thing that she loves.
Yeah, I'm Craig. I am Texas beef.
You're not as cheap as it is in the store, though.
No.
Ain't that rump roast, right?
No. Nothing rump about me, man. Hey, man, welcome back to the show. It's The Blitz. You got the right place if you're wondering. What? I thought I was listening to The Blitz. Who the hell are these guys? Well, that's Will Pelagic. That is Stanford Rout. I'm Craig Shelton. You know me from Hustletown Sports. You will not hear me on Hustletown Sports this Wednesday night because our Astros will be playing Game 5, which means Jason Braddock and I, a.k.a. Big Tall Ryan Mallett, will be bumped. That's all Ryan Mallett. He's just a little short. He's just a big, tall Jason Braddock, man. You know, but we get bumped on Wednesday night, guys, so we won't be there for you guys Wednesday. We'll be there in spirit, but we'll catch you next week. Probably double up on shows next week. We'll get that schedule out there. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. That can get you guys in on the phone. I think the phones are lit.
They're still lit. We still got a couple on Astros, and we'll take some more Astros calls here at the top of the hour. We were talking football, though, with Stanford Rout. Derek has a comment about the Houston Texans coach. We'll get him in here. What's going on?
This had better not be a Patriots call.
Hey, there's a good chance it might
better not be a Patriots call, Derek.
No, because it's Jason out there. You tell him that I said that's another one. It's going to be another one. This is not a Patriot call, Craig. How you doing, man?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing good, bro.
Thank you for calling.
Hello to everybody else that's in the studio. This is The Blitz. Y'all good. Y'all going for it.
Thanks,
hey, check
sir.
This out. Check this out. Real talk. I see this Texas thing as a two-headed coin, but I don't think we are concentrating enough on the other side of the coin, and that's the defense. We're giving up average of like 30 points a game, bro. I think it's averaging out to like 29.3 points a game with arguably the number one player in football, at least the number one player on defense. I don't understand that. Now, if you flip the other side, and I want you to comment on that because nobody's, you know, everybody's giving the defense a pass, but they don't want to give them the point. But let's flip the side of that. So what you said, Craig, or one of your other gentlemen that was in there, we're talking about a glorified coordinator. That is all he is. I don't know what Rick Smith was thinking when he hired this.
Man, Rick Smith ain't hired nobody, man. Rick Smith didn't hire Bill O'Brien. Get out of here with that. You know better than that.
He didn't. Okay, fine. I know Bob hired him. Why is my question, okay? And, hey, you can look at, man, this dude won 18 games in a row. With a very prolific offense. I don't understand why. Help me understand why he can't put 10 points on the board at least by halftime.
Oh, I know. I know the answer, teacher.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, I know the answer.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, he doesn't have Tom Brady. He has Ryan Mallett. He has Brian Hoyer. and he won 18 games, but he wasn't head coach of that football team. He was a glorified position coach on that football team. So thank you for the call, Derek. I appreciate it not being a Patriots call, which was, I know, a real effort for you not to talk about the Patriots when you call the show, but we appreciate it.
My question for Stanford is, you know, I know that J.J. Watt is a valuable player.
Beast,
but I almost feel like, does this team buy into its own hype a little bit too much with that?
As far as, what do you mean?
As far as the fact that, you know, they want to lean on him, I know, but at the same time, I wonder if they're trying to lean on him too much for their defensive success.
I don't know if they buy into that too much. Nah. I think that the way that it's just kind of morphed itself over the last couple of years is that the way the defense would roll is, if JJ's doing great, the defense is doing great. And if he's not doing good, if he's getting double teamed, triple teamed, because there was plenty of times where Indianapolis is double teaming him and having a back go ahead and chip on him before he leaks out of the backfield. So if he's not having a JJ type of day, it seemed like the defense is not balling either.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing in too much now for this reason.
And I also think several of the guys on the team are playing out of position. I think that they're not being coached the right way. That's my personal opinion.
But they're not even using JJ to his maximum anyway. If you look at what they're doing with JJ this year by comparison to what they did with him last year, it's a lot easier to find JJ if you're offensive coordinators, whereas last year you couldn't find him as much. And you know why? This year, they're not moving him around as much is because Clowney's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? So I think that they're making a mistake by something Jason Braddock and I talked about on our show. And Jason asked me, you know, what was my opinion on how they should try to defend Julio Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that what I wanted to see against Julio Jones was them to play as much Kevin Johnson on him as possible, because I felt that Kevin, even though he was inexperienced, I felt like he would compete. He had the right type of recovery speed, and his route recognition and everything is so much beyond where it is for a typical rookie. And I just thought his length would give him some better chances against Julio Jones. And then Jason added to that. He said he agreed, but what he added to that was, and not only would he do that, he would put Clowney and Watt on that same side of the field and rush them from that same side of the field. Now you got Clowney and Watt and rushing from the same side of the field that Julio lines up on.
Getting in the throwing lane.
Which gets in the throwing lane, and you know, which is a real issue with JJ coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't move JJ as much as they moved him in the past. And I think that's a mistake, a big mistake.
Okay, well, first of all, as far as with Julio Jones, you're really, really that's a task for any corner in the league to go ahead and man up with him.
But they actually did a decent job against him, be honest with you.
They did a decent job against him because the game was already out of hand, and Atlanta didn't have to go
to their aerial attack. Yeah.
Because Atlanta was already up, 14-0, 21-0? So once you get like that, it's pretty much already 21-0 skunk. And Atlanta didn't have to run their offense the same way they had to get back into the game against Dallas the week before.
That's fair point.
Kevin Johnson goes, I would not put a rookie on Julio Jones. I just wouldn't do that. That guy is too big.
Well, not
too
exclusively, but I thought some matchups, and they did match him up with him some.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I would still trust J. Joe before I would any other corner, because J. Joe's older. He's still got more savvy, and J. Joe is the best playmaker in that secondary. He hasn't made as many plays this year, but he's still the best playmaker in that secondary.
We're long for a break, gentlemen. We'll talk more Astros and Texans coming up. Astros collapse. Texans, what do we do about the head coach, and what do we do about the defense? It's the Blitz, 97.5.